over the last 10 years, you could have done almost anything wrong and made money on your property because the market took it there. Well, the market is not taking it there anymore. And so these systems are even more important to put in place, and you should have them in place before it happens in order to get the best out of your property. So asset management is a huge piece, and I would say the number one piece of owning an apartment building.
Welcome to How to Buy Giant Apartment Buildings, the number one show about growing your family's wealth with apartment building investments. Now, here's your host, Mark Allen Kenny.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to How to Buy Giant Apartment Buildings. I'm Mark Allen Kenny. Our guest today is Kyle Mitchell. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Mark, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. Kyle is a managing partner of APT Capital Group and has been investing in income-producing real estate since 2010. Kyle currently manages and operates $17 million in multifamily assets in Arizona. He is also the co-host of the Passive Income Through Multifamily Real Estate podcast. And Kyle has a conference coming up this month, the Virtual Asset Management Summit, which I will be attending as well. Kyle, I'm super excited to have you on the show today. Could you tell the listeners just a little bit more about your background and how you got started in real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thanks for having me on. Excited to be here. In my previous career, I was a regional manager for a golf management company. And at that time, I did not ever imagine working for any other company. I really liked what I did. I did that for 16 years, been in the golf business my entire career. And when I first started investing in real estate, it was really just looking for a source of passive income. I wasn't big on the stock market. Wanted a little bit more control, and that's when I went into real estate. And so I got my real estate license just to learn a little bit more about the business and to understand it, but started investing in some single family homes in the Midwest back in 2010 to 2015. And I quickly learned that it was very difficult to scale. And as passive as I wanted it to be, it was still a little more active than I wanted it to be when I had my full-time job. And then in 2015, I got to the point where I just really wanted to leave my job. I was burnt out. I was looking at my 401k balance. It just wasn't there. And I just thought, man, I'm going to be working until I'm 70, 80 years old, and that's not what I want. So why not take a chance and bet on myself and try and get there faster? So I was looking for an alternative route or a career to get started in. And for some reason, I just didn't think real estate at that time. And so it took me 2 or 3 years to kind of find multifamily, which is where I am now. But when I found it, I absolutely fell in love with it. A lot of the, you know, fundamentals and structure of how you manage your multifamily is what I did for golf courses. So it really spoke to me. And so 11 months later, I quit my job and got into the business full time. So that's how I got started.
That's awesome. So can you walk me through that transition a little bit? So you're doing stuff with single family homes. You kind of get sidetracked, it sounds like, for a little bit, but then come back, kind of rediscover multifamily. What did that transition look like? What was your first multifamily project, and how did you transition away from single family houses?
Yeah, so I just stopped altogether investing in single family homes until I could find something else because it just wasn't scalable and it really wasn't as profitable as I wanted it to be. I found multifamily just by searching online and came across a coaching course, took that coaching course, and then it was kind of downhill from there. But, you know, from the day I found multifamily to the first deal that we got, it was 13 months until we got something under contract and 18 months until we closed on the deal. So it wasn't like it just happened overnight. I'm glad it didn't happen overnight. There was a lot of education that I needed to go through to make sure I understood the business. You know, single family homes and multifamily are two completely different businesses. And single family is a little bit more mom and pop, and I think you can get away with doing it on your own. But multifamily is completely a team sport, and there's other people's money on the line when you're buying larger apartment buildings, when you're syndicating, which is what we do. And so there was an education kind of phase there of 12, 13 months that we need to go through and really dive in deep to understand it. So, you know, we built our investor list for 18 months before we raised our first deal, which is a 42-unit deal out in Tucson, Arizona.
Awesome. Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm super glad that you mentioned that coaching program and seeking out mentors and education. Was there anything that helped you the most kind of close on that first deal? That was it more of like mindset, giving the confidence to pull the trigger on that first deal? Or did you also learn about asset management and you know, how to structure those syndications and things like that?
Yeah. So this 42 unit deal, a lot of people actually ask me, why didn't you JV it? Why didn't you take it down yourself? Because it was small enough to do something like that. But really, I was beginning with the end in mind. I wanted to go through the process of a syndication A to Z so I understood the process. You know, what it was over 13, 14 months, all that education, building a network, having a larger database, that really gave me the confidence to get this done. You know, if I would have done it 6 months earlier, we just wouldn't have been ready. But by building our network the way we did, we were kind of one phone call away from our biggest challenge, right? So if I had an issue, I can call someone that I knew could help me take care of it, which I had several of those. And so I'm glad that I had that network. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
Awesome. And you said a couple times, we, did you find a partner before you got that first contract or that first property under contract?
Yeah, no, sorry. We means my wife and I, okay. And that's kind of how we got started. She still has her full-time job. I do this full-time, but she helps with things like raising capital and the podcast and marketing and things like that. And so now we do have another partner who's been on all of our deals, and we formed APT Capital about 6 months ago. But from the beginning, it was my wife and I.
Oh, cool. I didn't realize that. Awesome. So let's talk about the partnership a little bit. How did you find your new partner? And then also between you and your wife, where do each of you excel as far as, you know, there's so many different facets of this business, whether it's managing the asset, raising capital. Is there a side of the business that you personally gravitate towards?
Yeah, for me, it's asset management because that's what I did. And that's actually what she does too. She's a general manager of a golf course. So we manage people on a day in, day out basis, build budgets, you know, build systems, implement those systems, and then identify bottlenecks to improve processes. I mean, that's what we do all day, and that's what we do in our apartment business. So that's really where I gravitate. She's also great on the capital raising side. She's had some past experience raising capital for herself when she was playing professional golf. She had to find sponsors and things like that. So her network has been valuable to us as well. As far as how I found my partner, through those networks that I was mentioning before, we started a meetup, which is one of the very first things we did when we got started in the business. And that meetup ended up growing to 5, 6, 7, 8 other chapters in the LA area where we live. And so I would attend all of them with my wife, and we got to know people. And after getting to know them, we found out, hey, these people want to invest in Arizona as well. And so one of them came up to me after knowing him for about 8 months, just talking with him. And he said, hey, Kyle, I know you drive out to Arizona often. You mind if I join you? And let's see if what happens. Those drives, you know, can be 15, 16 hours long because it's 5 hours each way, plus you're touring properties. So you really get to know someone very quickly on those drives. And after a few months, we just clicked and, you know, our work ethics aligned, our goals and visions aligned. And so we started making offers on deals together. And I actually had the first deal under contract already when we first started talking, but it just made sense to bring him in on that one because it was more for a long-term vision versus just this one deal.
Awesome. Yeah, that makes sense. So let's talk about asset management a little bit. Obviously, it's probably the most important part of real estate investing. How did you get into that? And in addition to that, how did your conference come about? You know, it's completely focused on asset management. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, it is the most important part, but it's also the least sexy part, and it's the least talked about part, in my opinion. The way it came about is my business partner and I were just talking. He has a background in management operations as well. And there's a gap in the market right now. All these coaching programs, which are fantastic, right? They talk about how to get started, how to raise capital, how to get your first deal, which you need to learn all those things. And that's what I went through in my first 12 months of education. But if I didn't have the background I did with property management at a golf course, there's a lot of missing pieces that you need to connect after you close on your first deal and after you've done your first capital raise. You can't just hire a third-party property management company and cross your fingers and hope they're going to run your business and execute on your business plan. I mean, that's the asset manager's job. And so there's just not a lot of education out there on how to manage a property once you close on it. And so Gary and I are passionate about helping others understand what you need to do when you do close on it and the systems you can put in place to help with that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I agree 100%. There aren't enough resources out there, and it's such a key component of this stuff. I mean, if you can't properly manage these assets, then you're going to get into trouble. And I think we even had Daniel Simpson on the show, who does asset management for Nighthawk. And I specifically asked him, I remember I asked him about, you know, any tips for resources or books or any kind of course or anything. And he couldn't think of anything. To his credit, he's been doing it for so long that he doesn't really need that. But I agree that there's not a lot of resources, which I was super excited to learn about your conference and signed up immediately. But let's just talk about maybe some tips for asset management. Is there an asset class that your company prefers? And does your approach change as far as asset management, depending on the type of the asset?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, every single asset's going to be different on the execution of the business plan. Our systems are the same, however. So we invest in B2C value add apartments in the 100 plus unit space. And so the biggest thing with asset management is being able to communicate clearly what your expectations are to the property management company, making sure you have systems in place for follow up, and then other systems to create efficiencies. You know, I said it earlier, but asset management is all about identifying bottlenecks as soon as possible, even before the things happen, so that your business can run efficiently. And so that's kind of what we do as asset managers. And there's a lot more involved in that kind of stuff, but it's being able to track things and see things before they happen so you can identify them early.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. In addition to that, do you have any insight on increasing the value of an asset? Or what are some typical things that you would advise an asset manager to do to kind of, you know, increase that sale at exit?
Yeah, and that's kind of everything that an asset manager does is working in tandem with our property management company to build those systems to constantly increase NOI, right? Whether that's increasing the revenue lines or decreasing the expense lines. And so that's why I love my multifamily is there's so many ways to drive the value of the property. It's not as singular as single family homes, but you know, it's really tracking KPIs is the way that we do it. And we've got over 50 KPIs that we track on a daily, monthly, weekly basis. And we utilize that information to, you know, identify the areas that we need to improve on, whether that's, you know, how much we're spending on marketing and of those dollars, are we converting leads or are we not? Do we need to spend $1,000 a month on apartments.com when we're only getting one lead conversion a month versus another one that's free? So by knowing that, we can reduce our expenses, right? So there's all sorts of different things like that where you can utilize KPIs. But the biggest one for us is really conversions on leads. So where your leads come in, are you getting the showings, applications, and leases? What are the conversion rates in between all those? And then improving on the processes where we seem to be lacking with the property management company so you can identify those things and really work hard on track on getting those conversions to a greater level.
Yeah, that's awesome. So a lot of the people that listen to this show are passive investors and some of them, you know, they don't want to be the operator. They want to invest in people's deals, people that they trust. And my question is, how important is it for a passive investor to learn the basics about asset management?
Yeah, extremely important. I mean, this summit that we're putting on is for all levels of real estate investing, whether you've been doing it for 30 years or just getting started, or you just want to do it passively. Because if you don't know the right questions to ask a sponsor, then you just don't know what you don't know, right? So if you do have some slight education on asset management and the things that should be happening once you close on a property, you now have that in your arsenal to ask a sponsor, hey, what do you do about this? How do you track your conversions? And you don't want to get too far in a rabbit hole when you're a passive investor. I understand that. But you definitely should high level understand what asset management involves and how involved your sponsor gets in that asset management.
Sure. Yeah. Awesome. So the conference starts September 21st and ends October 4th. It's 14 days of valuable content. And for those who are interested, you can buy a VIP ticket and get access to over 40 recordings of the event. Kyle, what's one thing that you want investors to take away after attending the conference?
Yeah, just a better understanding of how important asset management is. I think, again, it's overlooked. And it's something that people are not trained on. When you're thinking about buying an apartment building or investing in one, it's a multi-million dollar business. This isn't just a single family home. And it's got so many moving parts. And if you don't have the right operator in there who's managing these systems, it can fail very quickly. And right now we're in a recession, right? And so over the last 10 years, you could have done almost anything wrong and made money on your property because the market took it there. Well, the market is not taking it there anymore. And so these systems are even more important to put in place, and you should have them in place before it happens in order to get the best out of your property. So asset management is a huge piece, and I would say the number one piece of owning an apartment building.
It's that time in the show for a segment called Best Deal, Worst Deal, where we talk about real estate transactions that you've done in the past so that others can learn from your knowledge and expertise. So Kyle, with that said, what's the best real estate deal that you've done?
Yeah, best deal was our 42-unit deal in Tucson that we did about 15 months ago. We've actually got it listed on the market now, and it's at the sales price that we wanted in year six, and it's only been 15 months. So it's just been a phenomenal deal. The execution of it went really well. Knock on wood, no bumps in the road yet with it. We've been able to push rents to a level that we didn't think we were going to be able to start. So it's been great.
Great. And if it sells in the range that you're hoping for, do you have an idea of the returns for investors on that project?
Yeah, it'd probably be in the 50%+ range as far as the cash on cash average.
Awesome. And do you have any advice for someone kind of just starting out to do a first deal like that one, since it was your first deal?
Yeah, make sure you're educated and make sure you have someone on your team that has been through that process before. I said it earlier, you don't know what you don't know. And there's so many different parts from start to finish when you're closing a deal, whether it's, you know, what the lender wants and all the requirements there. And then just also during the process of the close, you know, the performance of the property needs to be maintained. There's just so many moving parts, plus your PPM, raising capital. So if you're doing this for the first time and you have not gone through it and you don't have the experience, there's so many different things that could fall through the cracks. So definitely partner with experienced sponsors.
Awesome. Kyle, what would you say is the worst real estate deal that you've done?
Yeah, my single family home investments, and not all of them were bad. I think the first, you know, handful that I bought were actually okay because I was following my rules of thumb at that point. And I got dollar signs in my eyes. I wanted to chase more cash flow. You know, I wanted a little bit more yield on my investments. And so I went into a market that I did very little research on, and that was in Chicago. And all I saw was triple cash flow from what I was getting in my other markets. And so because of that, you know, the first 12 months were fantastic, but I really took a hit over the next 12, 24 months with evictions and people not paying and buying in probably a D plus area. And so Chicago is not a landlord friendly state. And that was my one rule. It was actually why I went out of state and started investing outside of California. It was because I had a bad experience here with the landlord tenant laws. And I just didn't follow my rules of thumb, and I paid the price on that one. So definitely follow your rules of thumb. We only invest in landlord friendly states that, you know, where you can evict someone who's not paying or taking advantage of the situation. And we also don't invest in, you know, C-minus, D-plus class areas anymore.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm actually from Chicago. I love Chicago, and it's very tempting to invest there, but I don't for the same reason. I mean, it can take, you know, over 6 months to evict someone, and that just drags down returns for investors, and it's just too risky. Is there anything that you learned from that you're now kind of, you know, taking forward as you look at new markets?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is landlord friendliness, but also the taxes in Chicago have been ridiculous. And, you know, the government is a little bit on the corrupt side there. They've been struggling with that a little bit. And so it's really, when you dig into a market, don't just look at population growth and job growth and those types of things. I mean, job diversity is extremely important and all those other things, but is it landlord friendly? What are the taxes like? There's certain states where you can invest and the taxes will double upon purchase. Well, in Arizona, where we invest solely now, it's a 5% increase max year over year and when you purchase. And so it's highly predictable and it's just beneficial, you know, instead of doubling or tripling and having no control over it. So those are a lot of the things we dig in a little bit deeper when we look into a market now and make sure we follow our rules of thumb.
Yeah, makes sense. Awesome. Well, Kyle, I don't want to keep you for too long, but I would love to just chat a little bit more about the conference. I was looking at the list of speakers that you've got coming up pretty soon, and a lot of them have been on the show, which is awesome. So if anyone's heard some of these people speak and want to go network and hear some of their presentations, I highly recommend it. Could you just talk a little bit about maybe a few speakers or some panels that you're excited about at the conference?
Yeah, absolutely. We only have one panel at the conference, but it's a big one. It's a $4 billion panel. So between three people, these guys own $4 billion in real estate, which is absolutely phenomenal. And Joe Klotz, Swapnil, forget his last name, and Joe Fairless are going to be on there. And we're going to talk about, you know, how they asset manage, but also how they were able to scale and build the team to that level. So I'm really excited about that one. I'm always excited to hear my friends Neil Bawa and Anna Myers speak. They are data gurus, and they are all about asset management, and they have a lot of best practices that they're going to share. The LASL system is the one that Neil Bawa is going to share, and I was talking about that earlier, how you track conversions. And then Anna Myers is just going to talk all about asset management and systems. So there's a lot of things that we're going to be talking about that you often don't hear about because it's on the back end and it's managing the small things. But when it comes down to it, that's what drives your bottom line. And so that's what I'm really excited for these people to learn is, you know, all the small things that go into managing your business and how you can slowly tick up your NOI to really increase the value of your property.
Awesome. Yeah. So other than the conference, which seems to be a no-brainer, you know, I even recommend people to get the VIP pass for $97 or whatever it is. Other than, you know, recommending people come to this conference and learn from, you know, some of the top experts in asset management, could you recommend one or two resources, maybe a book or any other sort of resource for someone looking to learn the basics of asset management?
Yeah, so there's not a ton out there, to be honest with you. Right now, we do also have a Facebook group, Asset Management Summit, and so we're trying to educate people on asset management within that group. We have a book coming out in a few months that is solely focused on asset management that we've written, but it's not out yet. But, you know, one resource is Bigger Pockets. I mean, I do think that Bigger Pockets is a great resource for almost anything. There's not an asset management section per se, but if you post a question on that line on those forums, there's going to be someone that's going to be able to help out. And so that's been a resource for us as well.
Awesome. Well, Kyle, thanks for being here. Where can others go to connect with you or to, you know, register for the conference?
Yeah, appreciate that. The conference is amsummit2020.com. Also hit the Facebook group up, which is Asset Management Summit. And from there, you can check us out at aptcapitalgroup.com. We've got a free passive investors guide for anyone that wants to take advantage of it. And it helps educate people on things that you should know prior to your first investment in real estate.
Awesome. That sounds amazing. Well, Kyle, thanks again for taking the time. I know you're busy getting ready for the conference, but I appreciate you being here and hopefully I'll see you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, everybody. It's Mark Allen Kenny. If you're interested in apartment building investments, schedule a call with me so we can have a chance to chat. My company is focused on growing your family's wealth with apartment building investments. So let's hop on a quick call and talk about your investment goals and see if we're a good fit. Find out more at stellarinvestmentgroup.com.